It is that time of the week here on KCIM Sports Rewind. KC Miners, we've got Jeff Blankman as well as Mason Nealon in his studio. And we will talk with the special guest coming up in just a little bit, guys, as well as we got Chris Claylar from the Iowa High School Boys Athletic Association going to join us, talk about everything that they've got going on as well, local sports, national championship game. It should be a fun slate as we kick off a new time.
Yeah.
Is it a new era, we should say, of KCIM Sports Rewind?
Yeah, moving the show now to an hour or 45 to 50 minutes and stuff from the original half an hour. So it's going to be fun. But I know the guy that we're looking to bring on is a very busy guy. So let's go ahead and bring Chris Claylar on with us right now. Chris, appreciate you joining us here today on Rewind. How you been?
Always great to catch up with you guys, Jeff. Happy to be here, and hope your spring isn't as cold as mine was the last couple nights.
Have you been outside having to deal with some of the weather?
I am coaching my own kids' soccer team right now, so I'm getting a small taste of what our high school and junior high coaches are dealing with out in the cold wind and trying to keep everybody focused as it all comes around, Jeff.
Going to play tonight in the snow?
Thankfully, no. But we're back at it tomorrow, so we'll see if the field can hold up.
It should be a pretty, hopefully, nice week coming up next week. I'm getting all this through this rain and everything like that, Chris. Talk to me a little bit. You guys just wrapped up the boys' state basketball tournament. You're already into the full swing of this spring season and everything like that. Kind of how has the year gone for the association and everything like that for you?
I think really well so far. This is our first year, as you guys are well aware, but some of the fans may or may not be, that with our updated media rights arrangement, it's affecting how we handle and manage media members, but also are able to handle and manage our events, both in venue and on TV. So you're hopefully able to see those in different places. All over the place, trying to make it as accessible and easy as it could be to find free live streams and over TV. With Carol and Kemper involved at the state basketball tournament, we had great fan support both in venue at Casey Center and watching online. Helping us lead those efforts has been a whole lot of work for myself and my assistant Colby Burt here on staff. So that's really what we've been focused on. So as much as I am enjoying the turn of the page to spring, we have a lot to look back on this winter about how everything went, and we're excited about the direction it's headed.
And Chris, you guys had some fantastic games down at the state tournament. I know you don't get a little literally just sit there and watch a lot of times because you have so many responsibilities, but what moments, were there any certain games that really stood out to you?
Oh, that's a great question. I end up kind of thinking about it in terms of like classes and days,
right?
Which is kind of a boring answer, but I have to watch it differently than everybody else.
Yep.
3A continues to, kind of be a leader in this tournament, a tentpole, as it were, both in terms of the communities that it brings in, the competitive games it provides. And as you guys know, one conference really kind of dominated, that tournament, the Raccoon River. So Storm Lake made the semifinals to kind of break into that group. But it was a really exciting 3A tournament that went all the way down to, a free throws at the buzzer, and then overtime game in the championship game. So I hope you guys have some fond memories of that 3A tournament as well. But that's kind of what I think I'll remember, as we kind of get a little bit of distance between it.
And Chris, you bring up the Raccoon River Conference. It's going to look different now in the future, as a lot of conferences, I think, over the years, next few years, probably going to see some changes. Carroll leaving, Pella coming in, and then it sounds like Van Meter potentially in the near future might be joining that league as well. So for you guys at the association, how do you monitor the changing of leagues like what we've got going on right now?
That is a complicated question, Jeff. So the state legislature decided to get involved to this issue last session.
Yep.
And they passed a bill that created the Conference Realignment Committee. We do not make the decisions. We do not have voting membership on the Conference Realignment Committee. but we are responsible for essentially organizing it and publicizing it and kind of keeping the train moving on it. So there are 18 school people. So those are all volunteer positions. Those are ADs and superintendents from across the state. And they now have an organized committee that has met, I think, 5 or 6 times already in 2026 to discuss those changes, hear proposals. You know, their first job was to work through what they called fast-track schools that essentially had applied and both conferences had signed off all unanimously on conference moves, like Carroll to the Hawkeye 10, like Pella to the Raccoon River, Red Oak and Shenandoah, old Hawkeye 10 schools that will be headed to the Western Iowa next school year. So all of that information is publicly available on our website now. So I am also managing that, Jeff Blankman. if you click on the schools button on our menu, there is a tagline that says conference committee, and you can see all of the minutes because it's a public committee. You can see all the minutes, you can see the committee members, and you can see the current conference moves that have either been proposed or approved. And I think we're already at 10 or 12. So,
Chris, how many hats are you now wearing there at the association with all the new responsibilities? One other thing you had brought up there that you guys don't have anybody on that committee. Would the association like to have had somebody be a part of that committee, or is that something that you guys are kind of glad to not have to be a part of?
That's a great question. I think it works best, especially because we exist as an association of schools. I know people just think it's people in Boone making decisions, but for us and the Girls Union to be able to talk with our schools and determine who should serve on this committee with school people that are engaged in these processes and are paying attention to it, I do think that that is the best way to go about what this process is trying to accomplish. It's just a lot of bylaws and a lot of moving parts, and we are well aware that the conference carousel is not going to stop anytime soon. So it is still quite a bit of responsibility for our entire office, especially our executive director, Tom Keating, to kind of manage all this, keep our hand on the pulse of all of it, but then pass along as much information as we can to those committee members so that they can kind of make the decision. So, as we understand very well here at the Athletic Association, ultimately the finger will get pointed back at us, whether that's from schools or fans or people that are paying attention. I think this is the best way to go about it. And hopefully the committee can stay engaged and get through this first year that is really going to be a mountain of work. And then hopefully it slows down a little bit in the coming years.
Chris, talking about change here, kind of your guys' last year over at Wells Fargo for the state tournament here. How did you feel like the last year went over at Wells Fargo? And second off, what are the starting things that you guys need to start to get done to make that move over to Hilton next year?
Casey Center Mason, Casey Center. I thought it went really well. I hope, and I'd put it back on you guys, I guess. I hope that you couldn't really tell that it was our last year there. Was that generally how it felt?
Yeah, I couldn't tell at all that it was the last season that you guys were hosting it there at Casey Center.
The kids, the parents, everybody from Carroll and Kemper, this was their state tournament opportunity. Every school and team hopes to get back there and to be able to do it again, but this was their state tournament. And it doesn't matter for them that next year it's at Hilton. So, fortunately, the Casey Center staff, professionals up and down, and our staff was intent on making this the best we could, without thinking about next year or what was coming next. So that was really our goal, was to make it feel like the best event we had at previously named Wells Fargo Arena, now Casey Center, and to do that the best way we could. As far as Hilton goes, we have already had kind of monthly meetings with their staff, kind of walking through some of those details, because it is all new for them as it is for us. They have not hosted events like this at this scale for this long, five full days, as you all well know. We've got those. We've got a couple more meetings with them coming up, and we're going to start to lock in some of those smaller details over the coming months so that we can try to, make it as good of a tournament as we possibly can in year one next March.
What goes into
you know, all the planning for that? Because you mentioned you have it so long at the Casey Center, now all of a sudden you're changing venues to Wells Fargo Arena. How do you guys come up with a place like that? Like, hey, that's the place we want to go to. And what all goes in behind the scenes to pick a new venue like that for State Boys basketball?
Well, the Hilton discussions, you know, that's been a couple years, I guess, now, considering, you know, we made the announcement last March. Mm-hmm. There were discussions about the best way to elevate the tournament. And, you know, Iowa State was looking for something. We were looking for ways to add juice to it. And, you know, I think we are really excited. Our basketball people that we've spoken to are very excited about the opportunity to play at Hilton Coliseum. I think whether or not you're an Iowa State fan, you can recognize it as a great gym. And we're going to have access, you know, full run of the facility, whether that's, you know, the number one and two seeds being in the men's basketball locker room and getting to use those spaces, or our teams getting to meet their fans after the game over in Sheeman Building. You know, your game finishes, you've got a great seat for your game finishes, you want to go meet your team afterwards, you can walk right across the skywalk over to the Sheeman Building and hang out there, and not feel like, you know, you have to either – yeah, leave the facility or walk out in the street or find a hotel or anything like that. So, you know, between that and then the evolution of SciTown that should be, you know, still developing next March and then hopefully, you know, turning into something big and real that Iowa State wants it to be over the next few years, I think that's a really exciting opportunity for that area as well. As far as the details go for planning on our side of things, there are just different jobs that will have to communicate with, you know, the like roles that we have at Iowa State. And by that, I mean, I'm concerned about, you know, TV and video board and media. Okay, well, where are they sitting? Where are we setting up the tables? How are we getting video to the video board? What format is it coming in at? How are we getting TV in and out? What's that going to look like? And, you know, my coworkers have similar responsibilities and stuff that they'll have to work through, whether that's, you know, on the basketball side of things, on the court side of things, on the ticketing side of things. So as we talk about all those things, we obviously, it's easier at venues that we've bet at because we can just pull up last year's mm-hmm. game plan. We're not going to be able to do that with this, but I think that's a really exciting thing to take on.
Chris, how far along are you guys? Because the one question I get, and it's mainly from media people, is what's the setup going to be? Where's everybody going to be at? Post-game interview areas, is that things that you've already somewhat got cemented?
Cemented? I don't know. I would say we've thought about all those things.
Yep.
You know, Iowa State has an outstanding media room
yep.
already that they do post-game press conferences in, with an LED board and plenty of space for all of our media members to go back in and work at. We're not going to do courtside seats that Iowa State can kind of sell opposite the benches. I think that's where we're going to put Media Row. And then there is more media overflow up on the concourses that we'll be able to utilize that we, you know, haven't necessarily or isn't built into the infrastructure at Casey Center during our state basketball tournament. So there should be ample media space. There should be ample workspace in that media area. Obviously, that whole floor area for people who work down at Casey Center, that is huge, and that's part of what makes that such a good facility, especially like at wrestling time. But it'll be a little bit tighter quarters, but I think it will still all the functionality is definitely there at Hilton.
Chris, I do have one thing kind of off of the state tournaments, but still involving them. I know Landon Sporer from ESAC County has been kind of helping you guys. I saw him at football, saw him at wrestling, saw him down there at the basketball tournament. I think it's awesome that you guys bring in some high school kids and let them kind of find a way to be involved and stuff. What is that program and how do other kids, if they want to, maybe get themselves involved in that?
Thanks for teeing me up, Jeff. that's our student advisory committee. And so we started that about 5 years ago at this point, and it has been fantastic, both for our organization and for the students who get involved. We're looking for very involved, high-level, interested, high-achieving boys and girls from, you know, that participate in their activity programs from across the state to kind of be our student voice and student help. Fortunately, kids like Landon have decided to get involved. The applications are open now, so if you go to our committee's page or check out our social media, you know, we're again, boys or girls, we're looking for sophomores going to be juniors because we kind of rotate those in two-year terms. But we take seven each year from across the state, and it's been really excellent. Getting them involved, hearing what their concerns are, hearing what they're interested in, trying to, you know, both improve our events, but also improve, you know, our offerings, you know, on a daily level. And we're able to, we're not at a school, right? And so hearing what some high-level kids have to say or what they think about the way we do things or the way their sports seasons run or how they'd like to see, you know, a trophy presented in a state tournament, it's a lot of fun to hear their take on that and, you know, kind of factor those decisions into what we're doing here.
Chris, one question for you. With, you know, we're pretty much halfway through the sports season for high school already. Any, you know, thoughts that you guys are doing for planning when they come to, you know, redistricting and resizing of the schools in a couple of years, anything like that that you got going on there that wise, or is that kind of tabled for a year down the road or so?
That's a great question. I don't know that the discussions have been had thoroughly in terms of, you know, how football applies its FRL percentage to redistricting. I think the focus has mostly been on this conference realignment committee and what some of the possible changes might be and the trickle-down effects that might have. You know, I would tell you that a lot of conferences across the state, whether they've got their name on this conference realignment page yet or not, are concerned about how many moves there might be. So what decisions can we make to, you know, help those conferences and those schools with their scheduling concerns, with their conference concerns? You know, some schools have already discussed, you know, is that districts in multiple sports? A handful of states around us use similar formats. Minnesota is a good example that's done that for a number of years. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen either way, but it's an interesting concept that, you know, might assuage some of those conference realignment concerns or taking on like schools in different sports, some of those concerns. So, yeah, rather than like redistricting or changing classifications, I would say most of the eyeballs have been on that process for now, and trying to, you know, at least spitball solutions there. So,
Chris, I know you need to get rolling here. One last question as we roll into the spring season. Any changes that are going to be happening here this spring with any of the sports that you want people to be aware of?
Ooh, great question. Nothing significant, Jeff, but I appreciate that. I'm focused on having the state track and field meet available through our TV and our free live stream and our TV partners. So we're hoping to make that, the state soccer semifinals and finals, as visible as we possibly can. You know, golf and tennis are scheduled for that week in between, and we're excited for those as well at multiple different sites. That kind of stretches our staff, but it's a lot of fun that time of year. The biggest adjustment in terms of spring schedule is soccer quarterfinals. So last year they were kind of at air quotes neutral sites or regional sites, and so the quarterfinal round is going to be Monday, June 1st, and those are actually going to be at four different locations. So each class will go to one spot for the state soccer quarterfinals. 4A will play all four games on Monday, June 1st at Valley Stadium. 3A will be at Indianola. 2A will be at Gilbert. 1A will be at MediaCom Stadium. And then, of course, the semifinals and finals will be back at MediaCom Stadium for three straight days. All that information is on our State Tournament Central page on our website, but the hubs, and so this is the first year that we're trying that concept out, and hopefully it feels like a tournament atmosphere for some of those participating schools, and they know where they're going in advance. So that's the biggest adjustment. For folks in your listening audience, no adjustment for baseball, because Carol is the host for 1A and 2A yet again, which is very exciting, and we're thrilled to be back. But for the 3A, 4As, we'll be back in Cedar Rapids. So this is the first year of a three-year run in Cedar Rapids. So you don't have to – I know we've been bouncing around a lot over the last 5 years.
Yep.
But it'll be Carroll and Cedar Rapids for the next 3 years, you know, as is.
Coach, Chris, I love the idea what you guys are doing with soccer. I've heard some discussion – I promise, last thing. I've heard some discussion that there was some talk maybe of doing similar to basketball at one point. Is there any chance of someday doing like all the sub-state games at one location or two locations per class size?
That's a great question. That hasn't come up here. I like your idea. I think we've made some strides. There are some challenges to those neutral site sub-state finals. But I think we've made some strides, and you know, Kemper's been the recipient of some of those. Where you know, we've got doubleheaders at Drake, at McLeod Center, at BV. You know, I think the goal is to kind of try to improve those while still keeping them regional. You know, the attendance and the fan engagement is still really good, and those sub-state finals are really exciting games, and we don't want to take that away. As far as, you know, with our move to Hilton, I think you're going to see 5 days and four classes for the foreseeable future, because that's what we want and that's what they want. And that's the tournament that, you know, the tournament as we've been running it is the tournament that they want to see there. So I think as far as the actual air quote state tournament goes, quarterfinals, semifinals, finals, I think that's going to stay as is for the time being.
All right.
Well, Chris, we want to thank you for joining us, and hopefully everything's going good out there at the association.
Thank you all so much. Great to catch up with you, as always, and look forward to seeing you down at State Track in just a few weeks.
You bet. Good luck with your soccer this spring.
Thank you. The Kitty Kickers are coming for the title. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
That was Chris Cuellar with the Iowa Boys High School Athletic Association here on the phone with us this morning. And guys, we'll step away, take a quick break real quick, but then we'll be back. We'll talk about some more high school sports going on. We'll talk about the national championship game, all that coming up next year on KCIM Sports Rewind.
The We Care ethical principles are core values for the nation's pork producers. Dr. Dusty Otakovin is the chief veterinarian for the National Pork Board.
They're not a separate program. They're actually interwoven into our daily business operations. And they represent our promise to do what is right for pigs, people, and the planet. And so while the strategic plan tells us where we're going, the We Care ethical principles define how we get there through our six commitments, including animal well-being and our people.
For more information, go to porkcheckoff.org. The National Swine Health Strategy is crucial to the future of the pork industry. Dr. Dusty Otakovin is chief veterinarian for the National Pork Board.
We're strengthening the economic viability of our farm families, and we're building a resilient industry. We're committed to creating measurable progress that producers can see in their own operations. Together, we're navigating the road to a healthier herd with shared responsibility and shared success.
For more information, go to porkcheckoff.org.
Tune in every Wednesday for the Arweva Rocket Review. Rocket Review gives you a look at what's new in the Arweva School District. Rocket Review is brought to you by sponsors Hawley Insurance and Berlin's Plumbing and Heating.
We are back on KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday. We just got done wrapping up with Chris Cuellar from the Iowa Boys High School Athletic Association and everything like that. Interesting to see what they had to say, you know, especially about all the stuff that goes in with the move over to Hilton Coliseum and then how they're going to redo soccer and everything like that. And I recommend anybody to go back and listen to. If you missed it, go back and listen to what he had to say, because he had a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah, he provides such great information. That's why we like to have him on. I've kind of teased him that we wouldn't mind getting him on after every season, so after spring, after summer, you know, and fall, and then the winter season, because he's just so knowledgeable about what they're doing and what he does. And I think one of the things that jumps out sometimes, and when you talk with him, is, you know, they take a beating sometimes over there, like a lot of organizations do, the girls' unions the same way. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they really have no control or very little control on what's being, you know, done and stuff like that. But they accept it and they deal with it, and they let it roll off of the shoulders, and you get used to it, you know, a little bit and stuff. But I tip my cap to what they do. It's not an easy job that they have over there.
It's one of those jobs where you're trying to make people happy, and you're not going to make everybody happy.
No, you're always going to make somebody frustrated and upset and feel like they're getting the short end of the stick. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, again, I mentioned, I go back and listen to the interview with Chris that we just did a little bit ago here on KCIM Sports Rewind. Local sports-wise, it's been kind of iffy this week so far with weather and stuff like that. We've had a couple soccer matches. Everything got kind of kicked off last week. So we're in the full swing of spring sports and everything like that.
Yeah, as full as what Mason and I think it can be right now with with another day. Mason literally looked at me and says, what are we going to do tonight? You know, because we're both, you know, we're used to being out and covering things and pretty much everything locally tonight. Minus the soccer games have been and wiped off of the docket. So I'll just run through the schedule here, because we've had some changes and everything should be updated online on the website and stuff. So track all canceled tonight. You've got one postponement with IKM Manning Girls at Riverside. That's been postponed to a later date. We'll see if IKM Manning can slip into that meet, depending on when it's rescheduled to. ESAC Girls and Boys up at Ridgeview is canceled. The Kip Janvrin invite over at Panorama with the girls and boys teams from Audubon, Coon, and Glidden, that's been postponed to April the 21st. I know we've got a couple of teams that were in other meets already that day, so they won't be attending. The boys meet up at South Central. The Ink Wonderly relays today, that's been canceled with Kemper and Peyton Sherdan, and of course South Central Calhoun. And then the girls Richard Ryan relays up at Southeast Valley, featuring the local teams from Carroll, Kemper, South Central Calhoun, and Peyton Sherdan. That's also been canceled. And then golf. This weather does impact golf, especially when they're talking snow. Kind of hard to find the white golf ball out in a snowstorm if it happens. But the Audubon girls and boys have postponed their home meet tonight with Aloma. Also, South Central Calhoun girls home meet with Greene County and St. Edmund postponed. And the South Central Calhoun boys meet along with Greene County up at St. Edmund. They were going to golf at Lakeside today. That's also been postponed. So we still have soccer on the docket. Kemper girls and boys heading down to Lewis Central. They'll play that at Iowa Western Community College girls first at 5:15. And then the ESAC girls and boys going over to Loma with the girls beginning there at 5:30, still on the schedule. So keep an eye on the website for any other changes if they do occur. Now, I think soccer will play in about anything.
Pretty close.
What did you say Gary McGill calls it? Perfect soccer weather?
That's how I knew it was going to be cold, is because Gary goes, you know, it's perfect soccer weather. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be cold and miserable outside. So
it's a good thing you got the press box there at the stadium. Yeah. We can interview the kids and still sit up there and watch the game play out.
None of them are home tonight. For you guys, though, playing soccer, you both played soccer in high school or whatever. So yeah. And your brother Will did, too. You know, Gary calls it perfect soccer weather. Would you rather have soccer in the summer where it's hot, yes, or would you like to play in the spring here where it's cold?
I would much rather play in the warmer weather.
Okay.
I tell you what, though, if you take a soccer ball from a kid that is got a really heavy right leg,
yep,
and you take a soccer ball to the side or the leg or anything, when it's cold out,
it's miserable, right?
It will sting and it will hurt for the next hour. But in the summer, it's like, you know, it's warm, but it doesn't hurt really bad.
Right.
And you're going to sweat either way, but I would rather sweat in the heat than I would in the cold.
Okay, that's interesting.
And yeah. I played soccer at Carroll High when they didn't have the new stadium, so we were playing up on top of the hill.
Yes.
So those, it was always cold and windy.
Yeah, that it can be 85, 90 in town, and it's like 35 out there at that facility. It's just never warm. I have so much enjoyed the move to the new stadium here when they got that turfed and were able to do it. I that's interesting because there's been talk over the years, and not that soccer's part of that discussion, of what could move from the spring to lighten the spring season a little bit. I know there's been some talk of maybe moving baseball and softball to the spring. I hope that never happens. I grew up with baseball in the summer. To me, baseball and softball are summer sports. And stuff. But it would be interesting, you know, could you do track and could you do soccer in the spring or in the summer? Because even for like track kids, you'd probably rather go run in. Distance kids probably don't want to run in 80 degree weather, but could you run track, you know, early summer, you know, as school's getting out and, you know, what, so I, and not that the states in those discussions don't want to make anybody think that, but
yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking out loud because to me, you know, 30 degrees with northwest winds at 30 mile an hour, that's not perfect soccer weather. That's not perfect weather for anything but sitting in a warm, comfortable house.
Yeah, for sure. That's the way I see it, too. Speaking of the soccer season, we've had, you know, Carroll, boys and girls have played so far. ESAC boys and girls have played so far. What have you seen early season from some of our teams?
You know, a little surprised, I have to admit. We both, Mason and I, think that the Carroll boys soccer team's going to be really good this year. I think the fact that Bondurant, Farrar, won that as comfortably as they did last night, I think is a little surprise. But, Mason, you even kind of said, if there's one team in the Raccoon that always seems to give Carroll problems, no matter how good Carroll is, it is Bondurant, Farrar.
Yeah, when we do our podcast interviews, I did mine with Coach McGill yesterday, and you know, he kind of said it himself. He goes, there's one team that always has our number, and it's Bondurant, Farrar. And I can flashback to even when I played, and that was still kind of true. But, you know, the Raccoon River, if you look at it, has been
dominant in soccer.
Yep.
I mean, they've had teams down at the state tournament almost yearly. They've had teams win the state tournament here as of late with Gilbert. So I'm not surprised in that way, but I could see Carroll being a team that competes in the Raccoon River but dominates outside of the Raccoon River.
And who are some of the guys that have jumped off the board for you so far for the Carroll boys and how they're playing?
Landon Peterson, obviously, first. I mean, he's made two penalty kicks for two goals on this season. Sawyer Hawkins has had two goals. Landon has an assist from last night as Sawyer headed one in for a goal. And then, honestly, between Cohen Klucky and Jared Moore, kind of that duo of goalies yep. that Carroll's thrown in there, that kind of jumped out to me right away because you have a freshman goalie and then you have this senior goalie who has not played soccer before and is just, what, 6'4"? And long athletic kids, so I mean, you throw him in the goal box, and he's done a pretty good job.
Yeah, absolutely. And I to me, putting Jared in as a goalie, first year soccer guy, makes sense. Long athletic, mm-hmm. long yeah. arms, probably anticipates really well. You guys know soccer much better than I do. I don't know if you've never played soccer, how quickly you can pick up the footwork, for handling the ball and passing and those kind of things. So you take an athlete like that and throw him into goalie. I think that's a great move by Gary and that coaching staff. I think the other team that we're really excited to kind of get a chance to see is the Kemper girls. They're ranked, really looking for Sierra Pudence to have a huge, huge year for them coming up this season.
I got to ask, though, if Carroll's NIL budget got up, do you think we could get Louie in the goal box?
You'd have to ask Louie that. But, yeah, you talk about length and athleticism and the long arms. Louie, I think, could be a great goalie.
I don't think you'd have to move.
Do you think he could just, like, lay straight out and he could cover the whole bottom of the box?
He'd cover the bottom, and with the long arms, he might be able to get half of the net all the way up, too, just by laying there. But I think if you're Coach Rowetter, you don't want that discussion. Here's a kid that's already cleared 6'4" in the high jump. Yeah. You want him to continue, and he's an outstanding hurdler as well. So I think if you're the Carroll boys track team, you'd like to see him stay doing what he's doing for them. So, and I think East Sac girls and boys, it's been a little bit of a rough start for them, but I think they'll be better and fine as the season goes on. So,
speaking of track a little bit, haven't had a lot of meets so far yet. A lot of them have been wiped out with weather and everything like that. But we've seen Audubon have a meet. South Central's hosted a meet this year. Carroll's hosted a meet. What have you guys seen track-wise from some of our teams?
One good night and two cold nights.
Yeah, for sure.
Mason, you got kind of a rundown here of who's been outstanding so far.
So without the indoor stuff included here, we're looking at just top fives for our area here. For the 1A boys, you have the ICAM Manning 4x200, that's fifth. The Audubon Distance Medley's fifth. Cal Hayden's third in the shot put right now. Trayvon Keeley's second in the high jump, returning state champion. Max Butler is second in the 100-meter dash. Caden Oswald is third. And Wyatt Regaler is fifth. For girls, you have ICAM Manning shuttle hurdle at fifth. And Maddie Mason at fourth in the discus here. The 2A boys, nobody in the top five so far. Tristan Gordon for the 2A girls is first in the discus. And Jeff told me the distance that Tristan has thrown so far would have won her state last year. And I think she's 6 feet ahead of the girl in second. And then for 3A boys, Louie is fourth in the high jump with 6'4".
And Tristan put a lot of time in during the offseason. Yeah. I think for her, she's excited about what the future brings.
She's a girl that you could see thrown at the next level.
Yep. You look at it and you're like, you threw a distance in your first outdoor meet this year that would have won state a year ago. Mm-hmm. Where's the end line? Where's that goal that she could potentially reach? Because she's already throwing much better than she was a year ago. Not that she didn't throw really well last year, but if you're already throwing far enough to have won a state title a year ago, where can you get to?
I think, what was the discussion, 3 feet away from Drake Relays when we were up at South Central? They said she's 3 feet away from qualifying for Drake. So, I mean, when we first walked in here the first week of, the spring sports season, we said we thought two kids could possibly get to Drake. I think we've added a third now that could possibly be down there, and I think we should have a good group of kids that could possibly make it.
Yeah, and hopefully we get a good number down. Another couple of athletes that were our regional athletes of the week a week ago, Max Butler from ICAM Manning, off to a really good start. We had a pretty good discussion on the boys' side of who our regional athlete of the week. Now, Mason, you're going to have to remind me. I'm getting old in the memory. We had it really kind of down to two finalists. Do you remember who our other finalist was last week?
Jace Peterson.
Jace Peterson from South Central Calhoun. Thank you. Threw it really well. And then the really cool thing is, you know, we talked last year about, you know, Cal Hayden being a thrower and then a sprinter. Well, Jace Peterson's in the 4x200 as well as being a thrower. So, you know, that just shows the athleticism that that young guy's got.
Hey, they must know something down there because they threw him in at running back one point this season during football and he ran for over 100 yards. So.
Well, your football coach is your track coach.
Yeah, there you go.
They certainly know something, right?
But yeah, and then for girls, Wendy. There was zero conversation. We had it down to Wendy the moment that we got in here because, I mean, she won four events. Two of them were singulars. Two of them were relays, and she was the anchor on one of them. But, I mean, dominant performance to start the year.
Yeah, she was the runner-up for our Rewind Girls Track Athlete of the Year a year ago and kind of says, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm back. I think she's going to have – just an absolutely tremendous year. I don't think you can count our reigning girls regional athlete, our girls, you know, Rewind athlete of the year for track, and Tristan Gordon out of that mix. I think she's going to be right there all year long. And I think we've got a host of other girls that are going to get themselves into that mix. So
I think it could be a really good track season for us. I know everything's getting off slow, and it felt like, you know, a couple of years ago when I was in Mason's role, we kind of had a slow start to track season because weather wasn't the best. But as soon as it got rolling, we had tons of kids that were qualifying for Drake and that were qualifying for state, and I think that's kind of reminiscent of what we might see this year.
Yeah, and I know in talking again, you heard Mason say that he talked to Coach McGill. We are interviewing all of our coaches for every sport every single week. We'll get those interviews up on the website at sports.1380kcm.com. Just go to the podcast center, and it's the Sports Recap podcast, and you know, I've got three more coming up this morning. And Mason, you got what, four or five on the day or something like that?
Three or four on the day, I think.
Yep. So so there's going to be a lot of podcasts. We got 40 some coaches that we'll talk to each and every week throughout this spring sports season. So that's a great way to kind of find out what's going on with your school and your sports and even some of the other area schools. But the one thing that I've kind of heard from coaches is they don't mind if meets get canceled at this time of the year. The difficult thing is you, the only way you really compare yourself is getting out and competing against each other to figure out what you need to work on. You don't want to really schedule three meets in a week. You'll do that if you absolutely have to. So it's hard to get into another meet later in the season to pick up anything that you lose. So because, you know, two meets in a week is about really what you want. They kind of say that if you get three, then you start really pushing the health concerns for the kids. But you also got to get some meets in, before things. You don't want to get down to, I remember a few years ago, I think every one of the South Central Calhoun meets
got canceled. Just a couple
years ago. Yeah. It's hard when you're running eight or nine meets and five of them get canceled to be prepared for your state qualifying meet. So hopefully after this week, and I haven't looked at the 10-day forecast, but hopefully after this week the weather starts to change and we start to get a little nicer weather that some of these things can happen.
That we're going to get into a situation where there's going to be no snow, but you guys are going to be out in 40-mile-an-hour winds with it 40 degrees.
Yeah, we won't look forward to those.
We'll step away, take a break. We'll be back with more KCIM Sports Rewind here in just moments.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
We are back here on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. St. Anthony, KCIM Sports Rewind for you here on this Tuesday morning. KC Miners, Jeff Blankman, Mason Nealon with you. And Jeff's got something to say already coming out of the
brain. I do. We have rebranded the show. Yeah. It is now the CB Sports Network Rewind show. We just kind of put out some new stuff. Mason created some banners for us yesterday, and I think we forgot to tell you probably this morning.
You did.
So that's why when you said KCIM, I'm like, It's the CB Sports Network Rewind Show on KCIM.
Yeah, there we go.
So, because I will bring it. I will. The reason why we're doing that, folks, is we created the CB Sports Network about 4 years ago now, probably four and a half years ago. I still have people come up and go, "Hey, you call it the CB Sports Network, and everybody else calls it something else. What's the CB Sports Network?" So if we, you know, the CB Sports Network is all of the sports stuff that we do here at Carroll Broadcasting. So it's anything on KCIM, anything on Kick, anything on KKRL. It's all of our social media stuff. Mm-hmm. It's this program now. It's our all-star event. We're rebranding everything as the CB Sports Network. That way everybody kind of figures out for sure that everything that the sports department does here at Carroll Broadcasting is under the CB Sports Network umbrella.
Well, I think you're forgetting one big important thing over here to my left.
Yes, we need to talk about that before we talk boys tennis. If you're not following our YouTube, if you are, you may know already, but we have gone live with live video and audio on our YouTube channel with the show. We thought with the show moving now to about 50 minutes each Tuesday, and the rebranding of the name, it would be perfect to rebrand at this time and also to go back to doing some live video. We used to do it on the KCIM Facebook page, but now we've decided to use our CB Sports Network YouTube channel and give everybody a live version of what's going on in the studios.
Well, they get a direct look at your guys' face. So we got to make sure that the camera's still working.
You got to turn and smile and wave at them every now and then, so they know what you're doing over there, right?
Well, I think that if we do that, the camera might get fixed. I think right now we need the camera to be broken because it's directly at you guys.
Yeah, that's probably very true. So I am surprised though that in a way that Mason here's the one that kind of established where we would set the camera. And he really put it so that it's more on him than
he wants to be the star of the show. That's what it is, right?
I want people to know when you say that I'm wearing my hoodie and look tired, they get their own interpretation of what's going on.
Yeah, he said like 40 words the entire morning because he's still sleeping over here, right?
Probably 45.
Yes. But by the way, you're also doing something. You'll put another one together here yet today, but a new little video surprise for people on our CB Sports Network Instagram and TikTok pages about our schedule every day.
Yeah, I just get to read through the schedule, and I get to learn the word cancel and postpone a lot. So, to start the year, it's going to be a lot of cancel and postpone, but once we get into kind of the middle of the spring year, into baseball, then football, and then kind of that area into basketball after that, we're going to have, you know, schedules every day. And I'm going to read through them. So if you don't catch them on the air, if you don't want to go to our website, and if you don't want to go through all the 1,000 steps of what we have, where our schedule can be, it'll be on now Instagram and TikTok.
Yep. So we thought it would be a nice way to get the schedule out there on Instagram and TikTok, especially for the younger generation that, always isn't on Facebook or, you know, doesn't go to the website and stuff. So this will kind of let them know. And when we're broadcasting events this summer or anything like that, you'll be able to find, he'll talk about what channels there are and who's doing the games and start times and all those kind of things. So it'll be a nice little addition to what we're already doing. So.
Well, there's one sport we haven't touched on yet here in the spring season, and that's boys tennis. That's kind of been hit and miss so far, especially with the weather and everything like that too. But it sounds like that's getting underway here in the spring season as well.
Yeah, Kemper's already had the one meet, ended up falling in their season opener. But Landon Potabom played pretty well, the couple of match wins, won 16 games as well overall. Luke Schulte also had a couple of set wins and match wins as well, and he has won 16 games as well. So those two guys off to good starts. They do have six guys out. The last time we talked when we went to Media Day, they had five. But Jordan Tryon joined the team, so they'll have a full six guys. Audubon schedule, I talked with Coach O. Soder this morning for our weekly interview. That's been podcasted on the website already on the Podcast Center. They are going to have five out, four right now. They're supposed to get their season underway on Friday, and then they're hoping to be able to compete in a tournament on Saturday. But they're with their low numbers, they're going to check in on whether they're going to be able to do that, and weather could impact that this weekend as well. But the young Matthews kid is going to be really good for them this year, so I look for him to have a fantastic season. I think other than that, they've got some young guys that are going to kind of learn the sport. Two of the guys are brand new to the sport, so it'll be interesting to see how that team grows as the season goes on.
And there's no girls tennis anymore, so people might be wondering, well, what about girls tennis? Well, it's played in the fall now.
It's played in the – yeah. We still got to adjust. I will admit last fall, and I got caught a little off guard. I didn't anticipate that it was going to start the 1st of August with school not starting until the late part of August. So I literally got back from my Canada trip last year that I take with my family, and because it's the only time we really can go and do anything, and I come back and I started to go through the fall sports schedules, and I'm like, oh, they're starting tomorrow. So I'll be better prepared for that this year. So yeah.
Did you guys get a chance to watch the national championship game last night?
Did. Yeah, not surprised that Michigan won, but also not surprised.
I said that Michigan was going to beat them bad, but it wasn't bad.
UConn, they just know how to win at this time of the year, and is, you know, as odd maybe if you want to call it that Coach Hurley can be on the sidelines. He can coach.
Yeah,
he can absolutely coach. And I thought it was a good game last night. The dagger maybe was the play late where UConn got the steal, had a chance for a layup to pull within four. I think there was about a minute and a half or so left in the game. Had a chance to cut it with four. Michigan somehow, I don't know if they got a piece of it, but they defended the layup on the break, and then they come down on the other end. Struggled to kind of get into a good set, but then hit that three to kick that lead to nine. Yeah, that was just their second made three of the game. But I thought that was kind of the camel that broke, you know, UConn's back a little bit. Mason, what'd you think?
Yeah, and then at the end, UConn kind of made it a little interesting. I mean, they came down, got a layup, hit a three, cut it down to about four, and then played the free throw game. But Michigan shot the free throw very well. I think 22 of 23 from the free throw line or something like that. And if you're just a casual fan or a box score enjoyer and you go look and see 9 of 12 and 22 of 23, people are like, how'd UConn only get that? But you got to look. They've been fouling since a minute left in the game there. So, I mean, props to Michigan and props to that team. First team in college basketball history to win a state or a national title with five transfers as their starting lineup.
Yeah, it won't be the last.
I saw somebody say this, and I want your guys' opinions. Has the Big Ten now surpassed the SEC as the best overall conference?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no argument.
Yeah.
Yeah, no argument.
I didn't know what they've won. For sure, two straight national championships in football.
Three in football. You look at it this year, they've won three in a row now in football. They won the men's and women's basketball national championship, the wrestling national championship. SEC got volleyball. I'm assuming SEC will get baseball and softball.
But I don't know. UCLA's looking really good right now.
UCLA's looking really good. Hopefully Jordy Fromm can get Nebraska into that hunt. They've been playing really well this year, and the baseball team's playing really well either. But, yeah, you got to think, especially with baseball, that the Big Ten's going to really have a hard time unless it's one of those West Coast teams competing in baseball. So the SEC certainly got an advantage. But to me, there's no question.
But even you got to look at it for next year. Nebraska volleyball is going to look very good. I know there's going to be a lot of teams in the Big Ten that are going to look to repeat in football, the Michigans, the Ohio States, all of them. But, I mean,
don't forget Indiana.
They're set for the next couple of years here for the Big Ten.
Yeah,
I saw somebody said, and I agreed with them in a way. I think you look at the major sports, you know, maybe besides baseball, I think that the Big Ten's got an advantage in.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. As Jeff Honnold said last night, and he was one of the guys that came over to watch the game, you know, it's kind of funny now that you got NIL and the SEC's not the only conference paying everybody that they're no longer kind of dominating college sports because now the playing field's a little more even and the SEC's not really happy about the fact that the playing field's a little bit more even.
And I think the Big Ten gets baseball. UCLA right now it looks like if you're not a college baseball follower or watcher, it looks like everybody else is playing for second place right now, and UCLA won like 23 straight games or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, they look really good.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I'm just happy Nebraska's playing well right now, and Coach Bolt's got them doing some good things over there. So,
real quick, Jeff, again, before we wrap everything up, there have been some changes to that sports schedule and everything like that, if you just want to go through that so people are aware.
Yeah, and everything online, we'd have to do our basketball challenge here real quick, too.
So track, again, everything canceled or postponed tonight up at Southeast Valley with the girls from Carroll Kemper, South Central Calhoun, and Peyton Jordan. The Ink Wonderly relays at South Central Calhoun for the boys with Kemper and Peyton Jordan is also canceled. The meet down at Panorama tonight with the girls and boys from Audubon, Coon, and Glidden has been postponed until April the 21st. The ESAC girls and boys up at Ridgeview has been canceled, and ICAMAN and girls at Riverside tonight postponed to a later date. Again, that all track and golf. Audubon girls and boys home meet with Loma postponed. South Central Calhoun girls home meet with Greene County and St. Edmund postponed. The boys were going to St. Edmund today up at Lakeside. That's been postponed. Soccer still on and probably will go on unless it starts like a blizzard at some point tonight or something. But Kemper girls and boys down at Lewis Central at Iowa Western Community College starting at 5:15. ESAC girls and boys go to Loma tonight beginning at 5:30. And I know we're running out of time, so I want to make this quick. Derek Tiggison, our champion of our bracket challenge, snuck in there with that Michigan win last night. Todd Bontrager, our reigning champion, finishes second, and he finishes 50 points out of winning back-to-back bracket challenges.
I need to know what his secret is.
This I know. Todd, I got to get to you. I've got to grab your trophy so I can present that to Derek Tiggison because Derek is our champion. Tom Hawkett finishes in third. Eric Yelly fourth. I finished up in fifth place. Kurt Batta in sixth. Josh Dietrich in seventh. Mr. Miners, you finished up in eighth. Nick Brinks ninth. Randy Beeson, Keith Wagner tied for 10th. Gene Rasmussen, Doug Waniger, Matt Welkin all tied for 12th. You notice we haven't said one name yet for sure. You've got Darren Miller finished in 15th. Seth Streben, Todd Danner all finished up in 16th. Caitlin McAllister was 18th. Josh Cervini, along with Justin Yetmar, were 20th. Katie Cook finished up in 22nd, tied with Sean Minahan, Austin Stolk, Clive Clark almost finished in the basement. He edged ahead by 10 points over the guy that finished in the basement, Mr. Tom Peterson from Exagrocrane Kimbledon. Tom, I will deliver your toilet trophy for finishing in last place in the bracket challenge tomorrow. And I know we've got one guy that's looking at me because I haven't said his name yet. The guy that was bragging 2 weeks ago about how he was going to dominate everybody, where did you finish, Mr. Nealon?
I don't know.
18th.
I haven't
looked. Behind everybody that broadcasted this year for Carroll Broadcasting.
The only one I'm surprised that I did not beat was Nick, because Nick had Florida.
After that first weekend, I was worried for Nick.
Nick right away after that Iowa game, I looked at it and I go, there is no way he does not finish in last, because everyone else either had Duke, Arizona, Michigan, some sort of combination of somebody that was still alive.
And he still finished 9 spots ahead of you.
I don't know.
Losing his national champion in the second round.
Yeah, that is crazy.
That's fair enough.
I got to have fun with him because he was talking about getting his picture with the trophy on Kelly's desk and how he was going to pose and, you know, all these fun things.
I might have had the worst combined score for boys and girls.
Yeah, out of the two, if we were doing a toilet trophy for the two combined, it would be you for sure.
It couldn't have been Tom, because Tom lost the boys, but decided to win the girls.
Loses the boys and wins the girls.
Me that didn't have UConn winning it, and then everyone got knocked out, and then Tom had UCLA, and they won.
And they won it, yep. So
that'll wrap up KCIM Sports Rewind for this Tuesday. Check out a podcast of it just moments at CarrollBroadcasting.com.
Western Iowa's news and classic hit station is 1380 AM.